Those of you who are present, I'm going to mute you all, and those of you who are listening later via the MP3, welcome to you. And again, welcome to our third gathering, our third class in Practicing Enlightenment. It's really, I just want to say from my deepest heart what a delight it is to be in the midst of this conversation with all of you. And also with those of you who are remaining silent in the conversation, it's a delight to be in the silent conversation with you as well. To be inside, to be sharing this open field of enlightened consciousness, which is in fact what we are sharing. You know, some of us experience the edges of it, some of us experience the deep center of it, some of us experience it as a kind of open spaciousness and clarity, some of us as love, some of us also as a feeling of longing, and a feeling of wanting, of deep wanting. And that longing also, that feeling of, you know, it's almost a loneliness for our own center, for our own heart, the tears that come up sometimes, the laughter that arises for no good reason, the feeling of things being somehow different between you and the people in your life, even just slightly different, the sense of perhaps being guided, or the recognition that whatever is going on, whatever is happening, is actually happening through the mysterious workings of the one consciousness. All of those different ways of tuning into your experience during this time, and you know, during all the other times in your life when you've sensed the largeness, the mystery, the you know, purity of your own being, all these are experiences of enlightened consciousness. The enlightened consciousness is literally everywhere, hidden within our daily experience, hidden within our mind, and the practice that we're doing, the practicing enlightenment awareness, which is really what we're entering into, what we're conversing with each other through, what we're meditating through, what we're walking around through this during this time. Practicing enlightenment is actually our way of tuning into that already ever-present consciousness that's actually living our lives. And I know that I've been listening to that particular teaching said in slightly different ways, but basically the same teaching. I've been listening to that teaching personally for 40 years, maybe a little more by now. And there are times when I hear that teaching, consciousness is everything, or that self, which is we're seeking, is already present, or meditate on the one who's always meditating on you, the different ways we can be prompted or have pointed out to us that ever-present being, awareness, bliss, that's our nature. Sometimes we hear this and it pierces us. It just enters us and there's a shift in our awareness. And sometimes we go, oh my God, yeah, right, that non-dual teaching. I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday she's a very alive, very awake body worker who's also a deep practitioner of non-dual awareness. And she was telling me about someone that she's been working with who's also a deep practitioner, a long-time practitioner, who's having a personal set of personal issues regarding a relationship that's you know, one of those karmic relationships that many of us get into, and which is causing her a bit of suffering and confusion. And she's, you know, she's mad at herself because she's such a deep practitioner. She doesn't really, you know, welcome the fact that she's been out of shape in this relationship. So my friend is working with her, doing this healing work with her, and she says, so where do you feel it in your body? And this person says, well, it's in my stomach. And you know what I've realized is that it has something to do with my basic parental wounds. And my friend says, okay, so you're dissociating. Come back into your body. Where do you feel it in your body? And she said that at that point, the person she was working in said, it's okay. Oh my God, you know, I just had another realization. It's my father. It's my father I'm in relationship with. And my friend said to her, that's just a story. It's just a story. Come back to your body. And this person said, oh, for God's sake, don't give me that non-dual teaching. I don't want to hear that right now. And my friend was telling me, and she laughed, and I laughed, because all of us, when we're in our stuff, you know, when we're really in our stuff, it can be very hard to hear this teaching that on some level we know is the truth. You know, what you are is the absolute non-dual consciousness that has become all that is. And all your other ideas about yourself are actually just stories. Some of them are terrific stories that, you know, that come out of our creativity and bring us happiness. And some of them are painful stories that actually bring us a lot of unhappiness. But when push comes to shove, what we are is that unbroken awareness, that unbroken knowingness and intelligence, that unbroken love, bliss, tenderness. These two qualities of awareness, of knowingness, of consciousness are us, are who we are. So today and for the next week and hopefully for the rest of your life, we'll be entering into that space that's there between the stories we tell ourselves. That's the basis, the underlying truth of all the stories we tell ourselves. And in this moment, as we prepare to chat, the chant that asks the Great Mother, the Great Self, to lead us to what is already true, to lead us from the real, the unreal, which is our perception of separation, to the real, which is the truth of our connectivity, of our connection, to lead us from the darkness of ignorance and delusion to the light of self-recognition, and to lead us from the death that is actually not the physical death, but the death of that comes about moment by moment when we're not in touch with our own truth, to lead us from death to immortality, to that in us which is unborn, which is undying. And we'll chant those verses along with the beautiful voice of the singer who's called herself Joy. And then we'll offer our practice, and then we'll have our first meditation of the evening. So you can take a deep breath in and sigh the breath out, and it's nice at the beginning and at the end of your day to breathe in and let the breath come as deep into the belly as it wants to, as deep into the body, into the heart, into the upper torso, into the belly, just letting your lungs expand to make space for that. And then with the exhalation, just let yourself sigh out just a simple sigh of inhaling and then sighing out your day as you come more deeply into the breath and into your body and into the fullness of the present moment. A breath in, feeling how the breath searches out all the different parts of your body that you may not have been noticing. And exhale. And inhaling, you allow your body to take the posture that for you is the most alert, awake, the most aligned posture you know. Letting the breath settle you into the contact of your buttocks against the seat. Letting the next exhalation inspire your spinal column to rise upward, up through the crown. Inhaling and letting the chest lift, open, and exhaling so that the shoulder blades come onto the back. And you can notice the position of your head. You want your chin to be just the tiniest bit tucked. You want to feel as though the line of the column of energy that runs through the center of your body from the perineum right in front of the coccyx, right up through the center of the body, through the crown. You want to feel your body aligned along that channel. And you might imagine as the breath flows in and flows out, falls out, you might imagine this line of energy that truly does flow from the center of the earth up through your body, up towards the Milky Way, up towards the sun. If you're in my part of the world, the sun is very bright, though it's not directly overhead. And you feel your body in the posture. And you feel in your heart that in you which really does both know what you are, know the truth of what you are, know your own reality, and yet paradoxically longs for deeper immersion in that reality, in truth, in light, in the utter sweetness of nectar. And with your awareness in the heart, we'll chant Asatoma Satgamaya.
Tamasuma jyotirgamaya mrityor mamratam gamaya.
flows in and the breath flows out. And we ask that our practice be of benefit to all beings. We ask that all beings be free of suffering and the causes of suffering. We ask that all beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. We ask that all beings know the sacred joy that lies beyond suffering. We ask that we know the equanimity that is experienced when we find that place in us that's free of hatred, grasping, and dullness. And we ask to know the equality of all that lives. Now allowing the breath to flow in and flow out, allowing the breath to draw your awareness more and more deeply into your inner body, into the heart, into the center, behind the breastbone. You allow yourself to feel the energy inside the heart, with the recognition that this capacity to feel, to experience sensation, is one of the capacities, it's one of the powers of the great Shakti of consciousness itself. And then you begin to allow the mantric sound of I am repeat itself. And you let yourself experience the felt sense of these sounds, I am, as they enter your mind, as they reverberate inside the heart. So as you're letting yourself think, I am, you're also allowing yourself to feel how those syllables vibrate. You might experience them vibrating inside the heart center or simply in the space of the mind. But please notice how these syllables, I am, have a certain resonance. They have a certain energy. They have a vibratory quality, as do all thoughts. And you're not thinking about this so much. You're simply letting yourself experience I am. Letting your mind cling to I am. Letting I am vibrate, resonate inside your consciousness, inside your mind, inside, if that feels natural, inside the space of the heart, the space in the center of the body behind the breastbone. breath flows in and flows out, and as you keep some part of your attention on this thought, I am, I'd like to just say something about I am as a mantra, as an awareness. Karen LeDuc asked the question on the listserv. In doing this mantra, I am, is what's significant about it the meaning, or is it the sounds? And I wrote to her, and some of you may have read it, that it's actually both, because the sound I am in Sanskrit is actually a Sanskrit mantra. And it means this, meaning, and it actually points to the oneness between the individual object, this, that is me, or for that matter, the tree, or the lamp, or the wall, or the other person in your field. It points to the oneness between this and that, by which the ancient Sanskrit writing seers meant consciousness itself, the self itself. So the sound I am is a mantra in Sanskrit which points to oneness between me and you, between I and that. And of course, in English, it actually points to the vibratory essence of consciousness itself. So I am as an English mantra, as a mantra of self-recognition, it's actually the sound of existence recognizing itself. I am before I become this planet, before I become creatures, before I become stars, before I become everything that I've become, I am. And in that experience of a manifest universe, I am resonating within all of it. So the sound I am, the mantra I am, is actually really the call of the soul. It's the cry of the soul. It's the self-recognition of the soul. And in the Kashmir Shaiva tradition, the expression of enlightened awareness, of total self-realization, is what is called the Purno Aham. Purna means full. Purno Aham, the fullness of the I am. Aham is the Sanskrit equivalent of I am, as many of you know. So when we say I am, we can say it in many, many moods and with many, many tones. We can say I am as a question, I am, or as a declaration that we're present, or we can say it with the actual recognition that your I am, my I am, is in its essence the Purno Aham, the perfect or the full I amness that's both within everything and contains everything. And in Kashmir Shaivism, in the tantric tradition, the experience of full enlightenment, as I think we've been saying and as we're going to continue practicing today and for the rest of the week, enlightenment has many, many stages, many, many levels. The enlightened experience can come to you in a flash, and has for many of you, and does for many of you, and hopefully for some of you it's happening right now. You know, you can be walking down the street or walking through the supermarket, and suddenly it's like awareness wakes up, presence moves to the foreground, you step into an eternal, that sense of the present moment, which also is both timeless and eternal, as well as absolutely now. Or, you know, if you have another kind of experience, everything sparkles with light. Or you just know it is as it is. So there are many, 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 many ways that enlightenment shows up for us, especially once we've started becoming aware of it, practicing to become aware of it. And there's also, and again we'll say more about this as the class goes on, there's also the many stages, or we could call stations, to use the Sufi term, of what we could call stabilized enlightenment. That is, you know, we start out, and it's like when you start meditating, or certainly when I started meditating, there was no space between my thoughts. I would sit for meditation, and I would just notice my out of control mind, and I thought never in a million years will I ever have a mind that's still for a fraction of a second. It really was that bad. So when people say to me, I have so many thoughts in meditation, I say to them, you think you have a lot of thoughts. When I started, I must have had the worst mind there is. So I definitely had the ego of, I have the worst mind. But in time, and it actually didn't take that long, as so many of you know, the thoughts slowed down. And there weren't so many of them, and there were more spaces, even though they were very small. And a few years after I started meditating, I actually began to have periods when my mind was very quiet in meditation. And now it's often very quiet during the normal day. So, and there are times when it's, you know, really deep, deeply quiet and deeply expanded. And my experience has been that over the years of my practice, there have been many, many moments of that I would call sudden enlightenment, literally waking up, when the background awareness came to the foreground and I just saw, ah, this is how it really is. There are some of these experiences very devotional, very filled with love, some of them like pure, spacious clarity. And these experiences, these flashes or glimpses, might last for a few minutes or an hour or a few days. And I would come out of them, and I would continue to practice. And little by little, I would find, and again, I know this is true for so many of you, that states which had been simply passing experiences began to become the way it was. And the Sufis say that there are literally stations in our spiritual practice, our spiritual progress, and they actually do become stable. And one day, the state of complete awake awareness becomes stable at different levels. So in the Kashmir Shaivism, that state, the experience of full enlightenment, is called Samavesha. Samavesha, which means, Sama means same, and Vesha means God. It means, you know, it stands for the Lord, the Lady, the absolute consciousness in its purest, most expanded, utterly creative, omnipotent, omniscient form. So in Kashmir Shaivism, enlightenment is Samavesha, becoming one with God. It's that way in other mystical traditions as well. You experience yourself as the same as the divine. And in this state of Samavesha, this recognition of Samavesha, according to the sages of Kashmir Shaivism, happens at two levels. And of course, there are many, many levels and layers within those two levels. But the first experience of what they call Samavesha is the experience that yourself pervades everything. And the second level of enlightenment is that you are God, and as God, you pervade everything. So it's first the recognition that everything is within yourself, and secondly, the recognition that everything is, that God is within yourself and is everything. So, again, the sages of Shaivism tell us something that I've said to you earlier in this series, but which to me is one of the most important aspects of the practice, that we always begin our practice by disentangling our sense of self from our identification. we begin our journey of practicing enlightenment by, you know, by doing such things as remembering that we're not our stories, by noticing that we are the witness of the thoughts rather than the stories the thoughts are telling us, by seeing that, for example, even though we can fully occupy the body, that actually what we are is something that doesn't pass away when the body passes away, that doesn't change when the body changes. So it becomes more and more possible to do what Don Juan, who maybe you have to be of my generation to know who Don Juan is, but for many people of my generation, our first introduction to the magic of transforming consciousness is through a book called The Teachings of Don Juan, who is a shaman of an Indian, a native tribe from apparently northern Mexico. And he used to talk about how each one of us has an assemblage point, which is the place where we experience our identity. And, you know, and what we have to do in order to be free is to learn how to shift our assemblage point at will, so that we don't always have to experience ourselves as being somehow located in the brain or even located in the heart. But we can experience ourselves as being located all through the body, for example, or as being located outside the body, or as being located as everything. So the more fluent we become with shifting our assemblage point, with ultimately at this stage of practice identifying with awareness rather than with our emotions or our ideas, the experience of ourselves as awareness, as spirit, as love, as something that's free of the ups and downs of our life begins to become more and more predominant. And at the beginning, at the simplest level, you know, the simplest practice of enlightenment is to practice turning your awareness to that awareness, which is that knowingness, which is the background of your experience, to that one who knows that you're thinking, I am. It's an incredibly simple practice. We'll be doing it in several different ways tonight. But it is the practice that all the non-dual traditions, especially the Eastern traditions, tell us this is how we begin the process. You know, you drop the story and feel what remains when you let go of that thought. Or you find a way to get in between one thought and another, which we're going to be doing later on. Or you practice this practice of the opposites, which so many of you have been sharing about, is one of the most skillful practices there is for beginning to recognize the thread of pure awareness that lies behind and runs through all of our experience, whether it's loving or hating or feeling powerful or powerless, or feeling constrained and claustrophobic or free and expansive. Within and behind those opposites is this suchness, you know, this somethingness. And the beautiful thing about these practices, these enlightenment practices, is that they're not only really good for tuning you into that which underlies everything, they're also incredibly good for just helping you get through the normal tsuras, the stuff of daily life. Alexandra was writing, and if you haven't read her email from a couple of days ago, you should definitely read it. And other people have been writing about what shifts in their daily experience when they actually go into a, you know, a bad feeling, an unpleasant feeling, find the opposite, go back and forth until there's a recognition that maybe they're both coming out of the same place, or that there's something in between them. And as a core, it's one of the doorways into tuning into the awareness that underlies all of it. So practicing the opposites will become, as you do it, one of your crucial tools for tuning into, for opening up to, for remembering, you know, the big that comes when we've been in turmoil and we remember. Or we remember awareness, we remember love, we sink into the space of I am or the space of the mantra. And, you know, when you're doing these practices, you'll get to the point, and I'd like to encourage you to do this. I'm going to give you this assignment. To use the feelings of intense discomfort or contraction as signals to do this kind of practice where you find the opposite and move back and forth and then go into the space between, or where you remember to practice I am or to welcome them. You know that all of these methods, all of these ways are simply the doorways that the sages have given us for shifting into what we really always are. So this stage of practicing enlightenment is basically about allowing awareness, that underlying presence, that knowingness, to become more and more predominant in our experience until at some point you are always somewhat aware of it. It's always some part of your awareness that's hooked into awareness itself through clarity and spaciousness. So even if you're completely, totally involved in your work or in the complexities of a relationship or in something that seems to be emotionally or physically unpleasant, some part of you is knowing that you are awareness. You're the knowingness. You're the self, your essence. And as you become more and more attuned to that, as it becomes more and more predominant in your experience, you begin to have more and more moments when you really are spontaneously aware that this essence, this awareing, is what you are, and also that it actually permeates the entire field of your experience, your body, your emotions, and everything else. So you're beginning to experience what's called atma-vyapti, the fact that consciousness, self, essence, pervades your so-called ordinary experience. So let the breath now flow and bring your attention into the heart. Let yourself breathe in and out of the heart. Using this sense of presence in the heart space to keep you embodied, to keep you in touch with your physical body. So those of you who are used to going into meditation with your awareness in the heart space, that's fine. But see also if you can, even if you feel your awareness expanding, see if you can just feel the space inside the chest, the physical space inside the chest, the space that may bring your awareness down into towards the solar plexus, the upper abdomen, and up towards the throat. Just let yourself be present in this part of your body. Let the breath touch your body from the inside. And now bring into your consciousness, your mind, something that's on your mind. And it doesn't have to be something, it's not necessarily a big thing, but a little problem, a decision you have to make, some interaction that you had with someone in your life, something that has a little bit of charge in your day-to-day life, something you haven't done, something you want to remember, but it should be something that feels a little bit problematical, something that you actually might tend to worry about or let obsess you for a few moments every day, or that's just hanging around, you know, as a kind of a undercurrent in your consciousness. I mean, for me, I'm looking for a new house, and so there's always this sense of, oh, I have to look on Craigslist, or, oh, I have to call that person. You know, that just the activity of literally searching for something in the physical world. So bring to mind something like that. And notice how when you bring it to mind, there may be a little contraction, a sense of the mind doing its thing, which is, you know, what happens when thoughts and images that are especially mundane ones come into the mind will reshape itself in the form of that thought or thing or emotion. So notice how that happens, how your consciousness contracts to become this problematical or, you know, this thing that has to be taken care of or that's on your mind, this task or worry or expectation or anticipation, whatever it is. Let yourself fully feel it. And now let yourself, not pushing that other thought packet, let's call it a thought packet of your slightly problematical human issue. Let the breath come into the heart and let yourself feel the heart space. And have the feeling now that you're bringing that problem, that issue, whatever it is, into the heart space. In other words, you're giving yourself the opportunity to feel the slightly contracted mental mind state of this problem inside the heart space. So you're actually inside your body holding a somewhat contracting mental understanding. And now become aware of your awareness. Become aware of your awareness. You're in the heart. You have this problem or issue. It's in the heart with you. And without actually letting go of either of those things, become aware of your awareness. I know it's a little like patting your head and rubbing your tummy, but just see if you can do it. And if you let go of it, or if you space out, or if you just forget what you're doing and go into a reverie, bring yourself back. You're in the heart. There's a slight consciousness of this problem or issue. It might be losing its grip. And you're also aware of awareness. Now let the awareness of the heart space and the awareness of awareness be more or less equally predominant. Let go of the problem. If it doesn't want to be let go of, you can keep it in the heart, but your main focus is on the felt sense of the heart space, the breath in your inner body. If you're not fully present in the heart space, be present with the breath, feeling the sensations of the breath, and become aware of your awareness. And if the problem or the issue is still present, ask, can I let go of it? Let yourself be present in the heart. Let yourself be aware of awareness. Your awareness is in the heart, in the felt sense of what the heart space feels like. And you're coming back again and again to awareness of awareness. And notice what's happened to the problem or issue. Going to unmute us, and you'll be able, or that is, I'm going to put us into Q&A mode, and you'll be able to press *7 and talk to us. So what I'd like to ask you is to, at this moment, contemplate what happened, what didn't happen, what arose for you as we were doing that practice, which is actually a very good practice for walking around in life, as some of you may have realized. So I'd just like to hear some of what happened in the course of the last few minutes. So if you would like to unmute yourself by pressing *7, you can say your name and tell us what has came up for you. Or ask a question. So, I'm hearing a sound which sounds as though somebody is preparing to say something. *7. Actually, some of you are not, your lines are open. So some of you could just open your mouth and say something. Thank you. And if star 7 doesn't work, you can play star 6. You can do star 6. What was that like?
Hello, it's Catherine.
Hello, Catherine.
Hi.
Hi.
So I have a question. In my experience when we did this was it was so natural and so easy, and it felt so lovely. And then, so a part of me thinks, well, was I actually really doing anything, or was I just wandering off?
It's so interesting, isn't it, how when something feels natural, we think, maybe I'm not doing anything.
That's right. That can't be right.
No, I think it is very natural. It's very natural. It's a very, very natural, easy way of just being in our experience with awareness. So that's great. Thank you, Catherine.
Thank you.
And if you press star 6, you'll, I believe, remute yourself.
Okay. Did that work?
So, yeah, well, you're still here.
Oh.
So, but you can stay. It's okay. Someone else? What was that like? Okay, so we're going to go on, and I'm going to assume that everybody feels completely natural and at one with this experience. So you can once again be with the breath, let your breath flow into the heart. Let some part of your attention be aware of that awareness that knows you're breathing. And see if you can notice how when you're aware of the breath, when you're allowing the breath to bring your attention into the body, and when you're letting your attention center in the heart, center in the inner body, in the heart, and then you become aware of awareness. There is actually, as you get it, there's actually a sense of both embodiment and presence as spirit, and you actually do begin to get more and more of a felt sense of what it is to be spirit living a human life. It's spirit living in a human body. You know, it's that actually beautiful New Age understanding that we are spirit living as human beings, as we're God living as us. In a certain sense, practicing enlightenment is being able to stay in a felt sense of embodiment, which for me has always been somehow most present for me when I'm focusing in the heart. But for many people, the experience of being embodied is deeper as we perhaps let our breath sink lower into the body, into the belly center, or even lower. So more and more, you're not so much getting lost in your thought constructs. You're more and more allowing yourself to recognize the actual congruence between awaring, which is that very light clarity, that very light, awake, alive clarity of having that in you which is capable of being aware, noticing itself, and also having a piece of your awareness in the heart, so that you're actually, in that sense, joining masculine, feminine, Shiva Shakti, awareness, love, in a, you know, in a kind of conscious practicing way. One of the things that Abhinavagupta, the great Kashmir Shaiva sage, says, if the false mental constructs about ourselves dissolve, the heart will stand revealed in its fullness. And when he uses the word heart, he actually means the great heart. Heart is one of the words that these sages use for consciousness itself. But if you're aware of awareness, and if you're aware of the heart, and you're allowing thoughts and problems and issues to arise and subside there, something in that union of awareness and heart energy is going to start to dissolve them. And we begin to experience the truth of that often mysterious sounding non-dual teaching, which is that nothing is really a problem. You know, at a certain level of consciousness, it's, if someone says to you, nothing is really a problem, it's clearly not true, because there are so many things that are problematic. And yet, when you're in that state of awareness joining the heart, you really understand that nothing is really a problem in the sense that we normally think of a problem. That is, nothing is really a great struggle, even when we're very active. Because when we enter deep into the heart, and when we're aware of awareness, then it allows us to also be inside our experience, to be deeply present with our experience, in a way that lets every experience arise and dissolve, arise and subside inside consciousness, inside awareness, inside the heart. And the more you touch into it, the more awareness heart reveals its depth, its wisdom, its intuition, its freshness, its joy. It's very, very deep, that awareness that we just glance into when we become aware of awareness. You know, as you know, if you've sunk into it in meditation, if it's expanded in meditation or out of meditation, you know it's very, very deep. It's as deep as the very depths of the cosmos, and it contains everything, and it's omnipresent and omnipotent. It can do anything. So awareness, especially awareness that's grounded in the heart, in the felt sense of the heart. Awareness is the great well of creativity that's the source of every breakthrough that's ever happened in consciousness, and also the source of healing. You know, in psychotherapy, they say that all healing in the psyche is done through awareness. It's not done through trying to change your behavior, not to say that certain changes in behavior are not a good thing. Obviously, there are certain behaviors that, you know, we really do need to try and change. But the truth is that the real change happens through awareness. And that the moment when we become aware of something and when we can stand outside our identification with it and be present in awareness, hold that in awareness, that's when change happens. That's when, as they say, shift happens. So it's our ability to let ourselves be first aware of awareness and then be present as awareness, so that it's not just that we're bringing awareness to our body or to our let's say, mental and emotional pain or to our physical discomfort or to our beliefs and stories. It's that the more we become present to awareness itself, the more we become able to embrace these things and use the laser beam of awareness to go right inside them, to go right inside a physical pain and actually notice how physical pain, even extreme physical pain, if you go really deep inside it, it begins to take on a different quality. It begins to separate itself into its components, and it doesn't have the same power to hurt that it does when we're standing outside and resisting it. So the more we become familiar with the texture of our own awareness, the more it becomes an incredible tool for healing every part of ourselves, the more its power begins to reveal itself. So our practice of enlightenment is really about teaching ourselves to return again and again to awareness of awareness, our consciousness of the freedom of our own awareness. And to do it also with a gentle attention and intention to our inner body, so that we don't let awareness become a disembodied consciousness, even though there will be times when we'll definitely transcend the body. But in the practice of enlightenment in Kashmir Shaivism, the experience of real expansion of consciousness, which is often described as the experience of the universe as your body, it always includes the experience of being inside your body, inside the flesh and the bones, and the experience of embodied consciousness. So for now, we stay in the heart and we stay in awareness. And we're going to practice, do another practice, two more practices tonight for finding awareness. And this time, we're going to practice discovering awareness inside the mind, inside thought. This is one of the great core practices of Kashmir Shaivism, also of Tibetan Tantric Buddhism. It's a practice I love because I've had many experiences of kind of opening up through this practice. So we'll go back to I am. And it's great if you can do this with some part of your attention in the heart. And this time, as you bring in the thought, I am, see if you can really focus, bring good bit of your attention to the sound I am, almost as if you are silently repeating it. I am, I am. And then as you come to the end of I am, become aware of the space into which it subsides. So I am arises inside your mind. And at the end of the repetition, it actually subsides into something. What is it? Where does it subside? Notice that place where I am subsides. And I am then arises again out of that same place. So as you repeat I am in a very conscious, deliberate way, and keeping some of your attention in the heart, but repeating I am very consciously, notice where I am subsides in the mind and from where it arises. So let the sounds of the mantra, the repetition of the mantra, the thought, I am, point you towards the space into which it subsides and out of which it arises. Just as if you were doing a jackknife dive into a pool, your body jackknifes, it goes into the pool, your clasped hands enter the pool of water in the same way I am, when it's finished, subsides into the water of your own consciousness, your own mind, and then arises again like a dolphin. A dolphin plunging into the waves and then arising, and your attention is on the water of consciousness, the place into which the thought subsides and then arises. So you're attending now to a thought, the I am thought, as it arises and subsides inside consciousness, inside awareness. For many of you, you'll have begun to be a little bit familiar with that fractional moment where a thought subsides in the mind, subsides in the consciousness space of awareness, when the mind is actually, even for a fraction of a second, empty of thoughts. So see if, for this moment, and you can use the I am thought, see if for this moment you can enter into that place where there's no thought right now. Just for a moment. Just for a moment. What is it? What's it like? Notice the sense of clarity and alertness, the fact that even when there's no thought, there's a spaciousness inside the mind that's actually aware, that's very alive, it's dynamic. Maybe it's even very visual for you. To see if you can be present just right now, just through this moment, see if you can be present with that spaciousness in between one thought and another. Just be there. And perhaps now thoughts are arising, just as I am was arising. And recognize, and this is a very recognize that just the way waves arise in water, or the way a rainbow appears in space, thoughts are arising and subsiding inside this space, this kind of alive, present clarity, dynamism that's generally called consciousness or awareness or mind stuff or sometimes suchness. That suchness transforms itself into thoughts. And just the way, literally the way a rainbow appears in the sky, and yet the sky is present. The sky is there. The sky is holding the rainbow. And the rainbow isn't made of anything except the vapor that also is the background that we call sky. And in the same way, the thoughts, the images, are made of the same stuff, that space of clarity. So see if you can rest your awareness just for a moment at a time in that recognition of the space within which thoughts arise and subside. That space which is awareness itself, essence itself, just so simple and present. And don't try to hold on to it any longer than it wants to be there. You'll come out of it. And then you can once again have the thought I am and flow back into it. Or simply be aware that as thoughts arise and subside inside the mind, just become aware that the thoughts are made of this mind stuff, which is awareness, which is clarity, which is spaciousness. And allow yourself to recognize the extraordinary freedom of that spaciousness, that amazing, subtle, conscious awareness. That is manifesting as thoughts, images, beliefs, ideas. Recognizing, even if just for a fraction of a second, that that clarity is you. That you're free. That you're awareness. to rise and subside, awareness boils into thoughts, foams into thoughts. Awareness appears as thoughts. And as you recognize that all thoughts are arising and subsiding as awareness, there's a deep relaxation that goes on in that moment. And you can keep looking for that awareness into which thoughts arise and subside, within which thoughts appear. But even as you notice the effort that it takes to look, you relax that. And for a moment or a second, just let yourself relax. Let yourself be. Let yourself recognize the enormous freedom that is you. My guru used to say, you are always completely free. Despite what is or is not, you are free. So that freedom is taking shape endlessly, creating inside your own mind. And those of you who've practiced with me, who've practiced meditation with me, know that one of the practices that I often teach in order to practice with the mind, with its endless creations in meditation, is to look at thoughts as consciousness. So this practice of looking at thoughts as appearances within the underlying awareness stuff of the mind, like the practice of holding the opposites, it's a very skillful way of freeing yourself up in the moment from being a prisoner of your thoughts. And it's also a doorway into the deepest recesses of your own awareness. It's also one of those practices that, as D.T. Suzuki used to say, the great Zen, not D.T., I'm sorry, Shinryu Suzuki, the great Zen master used to say, practice is enlightenment. This is a practice that is enlightenment. And the practices that I'm giving you aren't, they're not a magic bullet that will substitute for the other kinds of work that you may need to do in your human incarnation. You know, they're not a way of sliding out from dealing with your relationships or the aspects of your personality that might use some modulation, or taking care of your finances, or working with your other parts of your life that maybe need to come into balance. But they are magic bullets, in that in whatever you do, they can free you up in this moment, so that along with the natural ups and downs of life and the natural pain of being in a human body in a world that really could use some help, and maybe yours, but it, in that moment that you're able to just turn back on awareness and recognize that whatever is arising and subsiding within you is arising and subsiding inside this field of clarity and spaciousness. This practice, this very simple practice, becomes a way of constantly shifting out of the feeling of struggle, the feeling of problem, the feeling of hopelessness, into the aliveness that's the source even of those feelings. So it's really something to take into your life, and of course you'll forget it, and it's very subtle. So there'll be times when it's not a practice that you can do instantaneously. But it's always there for you, and it is really a doorway into realization. A slight momentary fractional realization, growing realization. You know, there's a Chinese teacher who wrote, an instant realization sees endless time. An instant of realization sees endless time. Endless time is as one moment. When one comprehends the endless moment, one realizes the one who sees it. So it's also true that when realizes for a second, the one who sees it, which is that awareness, which also creates thoughts and emotions, and ultimately, as we discover, creates everything that we experience. Just by turning again and again to the awareness at the root of the mind, you enter into that process, which will eventually show you that the same awareness is becoming everything that is experienced in the outside. And then whether you choose to act in a forceful way or very gently, whatever you do and think will have profound power for good. My guru used to say, he used to talk about his realization in extraordinary terms. If you've read his writings, as I know many of you here have, you know that he would speak rhapsodically about the light he saw in everything. He would demonstrate his outrageously expansive love, his strength, his power. He was someone who spoke about unity and gave you the experience of unity when you were with him, and it always looked, from the outside, to me, very exotic, very, very, very exotic and amazing and far away from me. And one day someone asked him a question. He asked him, can you describe the state you're in? And he said something really interesting. He said, my state is the one that everyone has inside. And in my state, I rest in that place beyond time and space, the place of infinite awareness. And then he said, sometimes I come out of it, but when I come out of it, I know how to go back into it. And this is exactly what practicing enlightenment is. For you, the space may be tiny. And as we've said before, it's not like you want to try and cling to it and make it last, because that's A, it doesn't work, and B, when you try to cling to those moments of awakeness, it kind of pushes them away. But as you keep coming back in a very open way, in a very experimental way, it will naturally begin to expand. And just the way when water, you know, when the tide comes in very slowly on a very big beach, a little bit of sand gets wet, and then some more sand gets wet, and little by little, the whole beach is covered with water. As you keep tuning into that awareness, into all these practices that we've been doing, it does begin to permeate your life. So my hope is that you'll continue to take these little sips of enlightenment in all the ways that we've been practicing, and just to walk around turning your attention to I am from time to time, and feeling that, and then noticing the space that arises, into touching that. Just noticing when you're bummed out or very excited that you can consider the opposite and feel it and take yourself back and forth between one state and the other, and notice what occurs in the place between opposites. Or you can do the practice that we're going to do now as we close. So this is the last conversation that we'll have on the phone for this time, but we have one more week of practice and you'll be receiving homework, and the listserv will be open and the conversation will continue. And questions will continue and answers will continue. So just at this moment, begin to breathe once again into the heart. We're going to enter into awareness through the doorway of the heart space. And you can allow your breath to flow in and out through the center of the heart, through the center of the chest, if that's comfortable for you, as though there were an opening in the chest wall. And let the breath flow easily and gently, bringing your attention into the back of the heart. And see if you can let your attention flow out through the back into the awareness of the great heart, which stretches out behind you and around you, which is always already present. And as the breath gently flows in and out through the heart, as your attention flows with a great sense of easefulness, allowing your awareness to flow through the back of the heart and into the presence behind you, which we call the great heart, the big heart. And as each breath brings you into the great heart space behind you, see if you can let your awareness relax into it. And notice, does it have limits? Does it have boundaries? Just see if you can explore the edges of that awareness. Almost as though you were floating in it. And just notice that it actually has no end. That your heart, the great heart, is actually boundless. It holds your body, it includes your body, and it can hold whatever is, because it's vast, it's awareness, it's filled with blessing. Just let yourself, for this moment, be present in that great heart space. And then with the breath, feel your body, feel the heart inside your chest, drawing that awareness back into itself. And with it, drawing in the blessing of the Great Heart. So that as you inhale the blessing of the Great Heart into your body, and as you exhale, you allow it to spread through your body. So that your body itself is allowed to experience that vastness, that boundlessness, that blessing, which is the blessing of your own enlightened essence. It is in its very nature boundless, limitless, endless, endlessly in love with itself as you, as me, as all of this. Just let yourself bring that great heart awareness into your body. Breathing now into the chest inside your heart, allowing the thought "I am" to arise and subside. And as we draw our conversation to a close for this evening, allow yourself to bow to yourself, to thank yourself, and to bow to the community that's gathered here, and that will be gathered together all through this week as we each meditate and contemplate and practice. Now this is very important, and it's one of the ways we close our practice, to have the feeling that the energy inside your heart flows out through your heart and begins to wrap your body, so that you're actually wrapping your body, allowing this energy to wrap your body like a white light, almost like a bandage of energy that cocoons you, protects you, so that as you complete your meditation, as you sit quietly for a moment or two or write in your journal, you feel how this light and awareness, this love and energy that is consciousness, is truly holding you, protecting you. That which is boundless can also be a protective boundary that keeps you very safe inside the cocoon of your practice. Have a beautiful evening, a beautiful week. Please feel free and more than free to write to me, to the listserv, with your questions and your experience. It is and will continue to be just an enormous privilege and honor to be practicing with you. I give you all my love. Namaste.